All right. God bless every one of you, and I'm glad to see Brother Jimmy is back. Praise the Lord. We all are going through a revival, I believe. You know, I recommended two books that you all should read, every one of you. I want to say this, that I know that some of you here are not reading books. I'm very sure. If you don't form a habit of reading books, you're the one that will suffer. Oh, I don't need, and I know people say, I don't need this, I don't need that book, I don't need this. But that's your loss. I remember back then when there were two ministers that came from the U.S. I gave him some of my books. I mean, we know each other very well. But he has his own view of what the thunders are, what the little books mentioned in the Bible of Revelation, what it is. So he has a strange view. And we have a disagreement on that, but he got so arrogant to say that when I give him a pile of books to read, you know, my book, I mean, he has some book which he gave to me, I read them. But when I give it to him, he didn't say anything, he just put on the table, and the other brother and the other minister told him, you don't forget to take this book. Ah, I don't need this book. Well, if you don't need the book, it's your loss. I will read any book you recommend that is good. I will take and read it. You know, and some people don't read books because they think they don't need it, because they think they know everything. And it will be your loss. I'm telling you, that's a fact. The reason why I recommend this book, I don't recommend any book, just simply because I want you to read it. This is a book I recommend. These are two in one here. This book was given to me in 1974 by Abel. As I told you, it was a New Zealand brother who works in Singapore in the Hangzhou Force. And I never forget this book. Only that's why during the time of about 2 months ago, I told you, when I was praying, the Lord said, go back and read this book again. Sometimes we just forget many of the things. This is not why it's so important that Peter remind us. He said, I bring to remembrance, to your remembrance. You think that you know already, but you forgot about it. And that's a real fact about human beings. We don't have the mind of an elephant. You know what the elephant, they call the elephant memory? A little elephant, baby elephant, you did something to him when he brought 20 years ago, 20 years later, 30 years later. He'll remember you, even though you don't see him in 20 years. He remembers you. That's what we call elephant memory. But we human beings, we don't have that. Only the bad thing we remember. Yes, but not everything though. You know, elephant remember you when you do good to him. So when I recommend that book, this book here, they are actually in break, you can get it online. This is the first book that this brother, this chaplain wrote, Merlin Carruthers. It's a small book because of his experience. He was a prisoner. He was really a bad guy, really, I tell you. In the army, behaving like army, and AWOL, and all this nonsense that he'll do and get into trouble. And the Lord was dealing with him. You know that you read the book, you would know. And then when he got more experience in what he was there, when he became a chaplain, he read a bigger, thicker book. And this is the book, Power in Praise. And you will not regret when you read this book. This is the beginning, but here I give you more explanation of what it means to praise God. Like many times in the past, I heard some people say, you know, I did this for God, I did this for God. And I do this for God, I do this for God. I believe that He will give me His favor. If you do something for God to gain His favor, then you are wrong. You praise God to get something from Him, you are wrong. You praise Him because you love Him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
This book, this two books in one here, it has been a blessing for me. All those years in 74 when I read this, I never forgot. That's why when I always go and shower when I take a shower every time, I will praise Him in the shower.
Amen.
And all those back those years, I just praised Him. And you know, it was only the last few that those songs that I wrote came out from the shower room. Most of them. From the shower room. You see, those are the songs we hardly sing. I belong to you. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. The other one is, just because I'm yours, Lord. You know, I bless you and love you just because I'm yours. You know. So, you know, we just praise every day we go out. What we do, we just praise Him. Alright? So, for those who have not ordered this book, please do. If you cannot have, you say it's too costly, let me know. I'll pay for you. And I meant it. Huh? Begin a habit of reading. Truly, I'm telling you that. Many times I even go back and read some of my own book to refresh. You know, Brother Andrew came, before he came, I was looking through my shelf. What are the books I don't need, I want to give it to him. I was looking, I said, maybe I don't need this one. The more I look at it, I will come back and read this one. And I look through all that, I don't even have anything to give him except for one concordant, which is I have actually two concordant. Years ago, somebody came, somebody had this thick concordant. I give it to him. So this one was a smaller version, but it is because of smaller wording, so I give that to him. You know, I thought looking through it, but other things, but I don't have. Now, here are five books. No, here are four books. Glorified fasting, atomic power with God, with fasting and prayer, because of your unbelief, the fasting prayer. Now, if you are serious about getting close to the Lord, then you want to buy some of this fasting book. Alright, there's only, in fact, two books that we want out of this part, perhaps it's glorified fasting and the fasting prayer. This book challenges you not only just to pray, but also to fast. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why in the examination of God, after I backslidden, I went back, after 2 years of backsliding, I went back, and that's when I decided to realize that I want to seek the mind of God and ask the Lord what you want to do with me. I went into a fasting, a period. I cannot fast at home because I have all the children. I mean, my brother and sister at home. So I had to take a room in the church where they have a spare room where I spend my time sleeping there, fasting there, you know. And then later on, I got more books, and this Frankenhall is one which is called an authority on fasting. There are different books, different people that I know. The authority on soul winning is T.R. Osborne. I have almost all his books about how to go out and teach how to go out soul winning. And if you want anything about really a Christian life to live as what a normal Christian would do, read Watchman Nee's book. You know, and I don't know if I ask you how many books do you have, how many Christian books you have in your library. I would not know how many did you have. Alright, that's a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, O Lord. We thank you for today. We are here, Father, because we love you. Because you first love us. And Lord, as children of God, we reciprocate, O Father, which your great love was shed upon us, Father, drawing us close to you. And you ask us to draw nigh to you, Father, as you draw nigh to us. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thou art worthy of praise. Thou art worthy, Father. And we bless your holy name this morning. As you approach our word now, Father, take it, Lord, and break it down further for our understanding. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the book of Philippians. And before I say anything, if any of you, if you are not well, seriously, that you cannot make it to church, not because you have headache in the morning. Oh, I don't feel like going to church. And that's bad. But if you are seriously in bad shape, okay, then you couldn't come, you can ask for the link. and we can be at home worshiping with us. And when you are at home worshiping with us, don't mean that while we are worshiping, singing, you are having your coffee and breakfast, watching the little mobile phone. Forget about that attitude. If you have that, it's really bad. The world has come to a stage when internet is so easily available, people hardly even go to church. And there was my brother from another country, I don't mention the name, he wrote me, he said, "Brother Dan, I watched your video. You know what, Brother God, why don't you put the text of the scripture on the screen so that we can read it?" I said, "Forget about it. You can't even open the Bible in your home if you want to follow and learn something." You see, human beings have become so lazy. And I want to tell you this, we are born into this world with the sin nature, the carnality, the flesh, and all that lustful thing, and all that laziness, everything that is about the human. There's nothing good about this body and all its five senses. It's so corrupt that we don't want to do the thing we should do when we come before the Lord. Let me tell you one thing, if you appear before the Lord in heaven, you think that you're going to talk to the Lord, drinking a cup of coffee, and let the Lord talk, and you just listen. And that's a really bad attitude. And I heard from one minister, he said, what? When he told me, he said, when he talked to somebody, standing and talking, whatever, if the person he's talking to look at him something, he just turned and said, "Look somewhere else." He'll stop talking and call him, "Look at me." When you are talking to somebody, the person is looking around, he's not paying attention. He's not interested in you. He's not interested in what you're going to say. Now we're going to have a revival. And I tell you this, God is going to deal with every one of us. Like it or not, we're going to come to that place. You don't worry. What about the denomination? What about the other churches? Forget about it. I tell you, forget about it. It's between you and God. Yes. When God called Abraham, what did Abraham do? He believed God. He did not say, "Wait a minute, Father, what about my wife Sarah?" When God is talking to you, He's dealing with you. If He has anything to do with the wife, God will talk to you about the wife or talk to Sarah. When God is dealing with you, what about my children? What about my children? You see, one thing about it is, when you can believe God to begin with, thou shalt be saved and thy household. So I put Cornelius, right? Cornelius did not say, "What about my children? What about my family?" The first thing when God deals with you, you believe us. The rest will follow. When God goes for the head, and the head to lead, the body, the tail, and every part will follow. If we start to argue and reason with the Lord, what about this? So if the Lord said, "Well, I'm not dealing with your wife, I'm not dealing with your children," then Lord, I'm sorry. Are you going to tell him that? You see, the mentality of us all is that we are not looking at the scripture the right way all these many years. Yes. You know, we're living in the world that it is today. Signs of the times all around us. And if I were to look back in the day of the Apostle Paul and all that, perhaps they don't have a situation like us, but they have their own challenges too. Now think about it. For me to go to Africa, I take a plane, fly over there maybe for less than 10 hours. If for Paul to travel from one place to another, he goes by ship, that goes by weeks and days sometimes. Do you know that, don't you? And in those days, they don't have a telephone. They have to send messengers and take days to go there and get a reply back after so many days. Yes, Paul has his own challenges. But we are living in this last day. We are living in the last church age. And the signs are all here. And you open a newspaper, you hear the news on television or whatever, you read it on Yahoo News, CNA, and then you hear all this news that is going around. Right? Do you know what happened in October last? 2 months, last month, right? This is November, yeah, last month. Do you know that the people in Israel are looking for the third temple? Do you know that they are already preparing themselves and going through a practice with all the Kohanim, all the Levites, the rabbi all gathered in their practice? They have all the trumpets, they have all the what they call very able musicians. They went through all the ritual preparing it. They had such a great ceremony. Because they know the time for the Messiah to come is near, and the temple will soon be there. They were practicing it. Wow, you can watch it on the YouTube. Fantastic. You know that? The question is, when are they going to really set it down on the altar and start to, you know, build it? The only way they could do it, they are practicing it right on Mount Moriah there. I mean, that temple here. But they cannot build anything because of the dome. Huh? Of what? Dome of the Dome on the Rock, yeah. The only thing for them to be able to build is when there is an earthquake or something that brings down the Dome of the Rock, become the Doom of the Rock. And then the Jew will be able to take back that land. And we are not far from it. You know all the problems in the world today? Russia, Ukraine, America with China issue, an economic problem, and China the zero tolerance for COVID-19, and they are giving the people a whole lot of problem now. Then we have the regional earthquake here and there that is coming on now. And what about the reason 2 months ago or something like that? What about this COP talk, this climate talk, right? This global warming. How did it, what has come to? Was it successful? All the leaders of the world, they talk about carbon footprint and they have their own private jet. Putting any more carbon into the air. Right. You know something? Let me show you something here. What I might be getting out of Philippians, but I'm saying this. We are living in a time that we can say that we are rejoicing because of the coming of the Lord. Huh? Look. I found a documentary. It is about a scientist in Norway who have been studying about this kind of change. And he was very, very concerned. He got all the data. Now, we have this global warming 1.5 degrees Celsius, right? Huh? He says that if we continue the way we are going in less than 30 years, what we are now in the Holocene will become the Anthropocene. It's a word in scientific term. Holocene means how mankind was able to live on this planet in the last 6,000 years was because prior to that, he says, it took about 10,000 years for this earth to come to that situation, an environment with the right atmosphere for humankind to exist beside the plants and animals and insects. But if we continue at the rate we are going now, 1.5, then we go to 2 to 2.5, whatever, in the less than 30 years, we will come to that stage where it is known as Anthropocene. No longer the Holocene. When it comes to the Anthropocene, he said that it's impossible practically to revert back what we are. And look at the condition of the world. Think about it. And how true it is when he said that he bring back me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then the next sentence says what? And the earth became void. Tohu and bohu, chaotic. Become without form and void. Why? Something happened in between that two statements, right? We know that. And then the Lord then after that decreed. And mankind was able to 6,000 years since Adam starts. But before all that period of time, and the earth was so destructive because of the testing of Lucifer, he fell. Sadly. So what are we going to do? What are we then at this stage? We are believers. Are we looking and rejoicing for the coming of the Lord? If we are, what is our attitude towards the Lord? I want to say this. When you come to church, do you bring a Bible? Or do you bring a cell phone? Let somebody make a suggestion on the Friday prayer group. I think it's Brother Sam too. That we should be like, you know, taking notes and all this, like when we are in the class. Right? So you have a memory, right? Is that right? Is that what you said? And when you come to church, do you bring a Bible or you bring a phone? Let me tell you this. I was a psychiatric nurse. I studied psychology, which was only a brief subject, but I was interested. I studied on my own. And I know human behavior very well. And I hate it. The it is an ego and a super ego and the nonsense of that ego of a human being. Right? We come to church, we don't bring the Bible. We bring a cell phone because we have electronic Bible. So we switch on the electronic Bible and look. Let me tell you this. You sit down there looking at that. Then after a while when the preacher is talking, the Bible verse is longer, look at that. You flip, you go to Instagram. Flip, you go to TikTok. Flip, you go to Facebook. Or WhatsApp. I know this big thing happened. No, I'm not that stupid. You are here being taught. You are being rebuked this morning. I'm being serious about waking you up in the hour that we are living in. We got to get ready. This is a time that we can no longer slumber. Already in the early 20th century, when the message was given, Matthew 25 became a reality. Right? Behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Isn't it? But the Virginia was sleeping in the system. In the 20th century, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, people realized the coming of the Lord was near. They waited for how many years? 13 years. And a Pentecostal movement split into groups. You know, the Holy Spirit outpouring was 1906. Remember? Yeah. And when they woke up, they saw that. They saw that, oh, there's one God actually, not Trinity. They realized that water baptism is in Jesus' name, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So they were all in one group, all rejoicing, going out, having signs of wonder. 13 years later or so, schism came into the church, the Pentecostal movement. The PAW moved away. UPC moved one side. The Assembly of God moved one side. They start to all move and drift. They're all because leaders think that they know and disagree with the other preachers. So they start their own group. And so what happened? The Pentecostal movement became an ism to where people are locked up in religious organization. And at the time, somewhere around that, Brother Abraham was born. And in 1933, you know, he's got commissioned. You know that, don't you? And now how did God send him out to preach, and then the message was given. And that's why I call the genes. So we are living in a time like this. The reality or the fulfilling of the Holy Bible. So when we are here today, let us remember this. I don't believe that we are still many decades before the Lord comes. I don't believe that. I don't believe there is another generation. Adam, my grandson said, he's the last generation. I don't think there's going to be another one. You understand this? Because earlier the scientists said, you know, less than 30 years going to rape, we are going without controlling the environment, bringing in the global warming down, we are finished. And with all the evil leaders in the world, and sometimes when I think about the United Nations, it's a laughing stock. The Bible actually said that they would sit around a table and talk peace and all that, but when it got finished, they start killing each other. It's always been like that. Let us go, therefore, to the book of Philippians chapter 3 now. And let's want to finish out the rest of all those verses in that chapter. I want to tell you about the experience that I have last Monday or Tuesday. You know, it seems that every time there is always something happened to me, some challenges coming to me after the Sunday service. Around Monday, Tuesday, you know, the devil will start coming and doing something strange or whatever. You know, and the Lord's watching, of course, you know. You know what happened was that, you remember I told you about this razor blade cutting pain? It's so sharp and pain that it's terrible. Well, the one is already gone. Uh-huh. It didn't come back. But I think it was Tuesday early morning around 3-4 o'clock. I got up with a jab, with knife jab. Not what it was before, because the last time they were cutting was my abdomen. But this one was right at my left side of the floating ribs. You know where the floating ribs is? And you know where the cancer tumor is? It's just in front of, well, under my rib cage on the left. Is right in there, and so it lies between that area of the diaphragm and the floating rib and the front part here. And about 3-4 o'clock, I got this jab. Oh my, the jab was painful right back here. Then I got up and sit there, and then the pain started coming again, and then right in front over on the rib also here. And of course, when it comes, I got up and I just have to, you know, relax on something to soothe it. And you know, that night, the early morning, there's a lot of things that floats my mind. I want to tell you this, right? There's a lot of things that devil start throwing thoughts at you. Now, there are people that don't believe, there are Christians that do not believe that the Satan could throw thoughts at you. And they don't believe that. They think that the thoughts that in you is just your own thoughts. Remember, there are three spirits, I told you. Your human spirit, your own spirit. And there's the spirit of the devil, there's the spirit of God, right? So you need to discern what spirit you are listening to. How did the thought come from? So I was sitting there, you know, in my mind, I was meditating. I didn't utter the word. Now I want to tell you something here. About thoughts. You know what a thought is? A thought is a word unspoken. Right? What is a word? A word is a thought expressed. Huh? The word is a thought expressed. And what is an expression? An expression is a thought in words. Thought, words, and expression. So I was sitting there, that's my definition anyway. I was sitting on a band and thinking a lot of floating, going in my mind. and Jeff start coming again. And I know, of course, there are two reasons for it. Either that the tumor gets bigger and growing and have to find space and pushing all the other organs away. That, of course, everybody knows when the tumor starts to grow, you push us every organs away. And it's going to cause pain. Or that the tumor is bloating up and dying and still pushing, of course. Or that it's shrinking, and when it's shrinking and it dies and it shrinks, it's pulling all that nerve because they're all cells around. So I was thinking about God, I said, my pain, oh Lord. And then in my thoughts, I said, Lord, let me go. Just let me go. And that was my thought. I did not fade it out. Okay? Now, the thing is that whatever you are thinking is one thing. But whatever you speak, whatever you do, from whatever you are thinking in that you express it in words or you do it by action, you are responsible for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not responsible for your thinking. As long as you think, nobody cares what you think. Even if you want to curse somebody in your head, nobody knows. But the moment you stick out and you curse somebody, you're responsible for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he was in my mind, I said, Lord, let me go, let me go. I need a heart for it out, After a while, I was strong and I said, Lord, you allow it. Let it be. I know something good comes out of it. Whatever you have, you already told me that revival started with me, the church is going to have a revival. Okay, we're going to have it. And I'm looking for it. So in the morning, get up, the same thing happened there, and I just pray and just keep calm. Just praise the Lord. Let whatever the Lord allows. It took quite a while before that pain subsided. There's another phenomenon that's happening in my body. That happened last week. Was that my irregular beat stops. I'm at the oximeter. I always carry an oximeter with me in the home. Every hour or so, I just, because sitting at the desk, I'll put my finger in and see. And then I found that there was no irregular beat. Hardly any regular beat, practically for the one whole week then. But then I noticed that as the regular beat disappeared, my heart started to thump. Boom, boom, boom. A few times and it stopped. Sometimes you will just boom, boom. But that's not irregular beat. It's just like the muscle, the heart gets a little bit jumpy. And you can feel like that. And it don't feel good. So the last few days I was feeling like really sick in a way because this thumping needed like vomiting or feeling nauseous. And the other thing happened is that if I go for a walk, I feel fine. I don't feel anything. I come back, see for a while, there's no thumping, there's nothing. But when I sit down at the computer table to answer the email or WhatsApp or whoever want to talk me and chat me, I start a little bit. Once a while it comes, after maybe half an hour, you go starts again. And I said, Lord, you're going to strengthen my heart, right? Okay? Because you pick out a bit, I know to many people it doesn't sound good, but to me, the Lord is changing something in my heart, whatever. That's quite a challenge. But as Paul in the Bible, has this book, we're talking about the contentment of what we of our life. I'm contented with life. I'm contented with what I have. And I rejoice in the Lord. I have the joy of the Lord. So when we go back to, let's quickly finish off. Let's see. Here we have in verse 14 onward here, that we finish off the few last verses. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be tough-minded. And if any things be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. If Paul talks about maturity, let us go on to perfection. For the price of the high calling. People think that, of course, sometimes you'll say, what's the price of the high calling? Well, there are many people think it's the crown of life, you know, the crown of righteousness. But they're on there. But toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it's all related, as Paul said, in Christ Jesus. Is that right? The calling of God in Christ Jesus. When God calls us, in the book of Ephesians, He already foreknown us before the foundation of the world. And when Christ called us, that's what I want to tell you, a brother overseas who having a hard time trying to figure out understanding. Do you know about predestination for knowledge? If God has chosen me, that means I have nothing to do with it. I said, right? That's true. You didn't choose God, God chose you, right? But then, if I don't choose God, and God chose me, that means I'm still chosen. You can't hold it. Huh? God chose you, but you didn't choose Him. So, okay, I don't choose God. God chose me, I don't choose. So, I'm still okay. I'm safe. What do you not go to church for? You see, the problem is that when we talk about God choosing you, it doesn't mean that you do nothing. Then the brother would say, if I do something, it means God is not choosing me, I'm choosing Him. He said, the problem is that foreknowledge is one thing. Foreknowledge, God look at your life. But to the brother, he said, oh, it means that God knows whether I'm good or bad, whether I will choose Him or not. Of course God knows all this. We know. Right. But God chose you because He chose you. Regardless whether you are good or bad. God even chose the bad. Because not even anyone that is good. How many of you are good? None of us. Everyone is bad. Nothing to do with goodness. God chose you because He wants to choose you. But the question is, why do you want to choose me? Come on, we got all kind of questions, right? You'll never end. Why God choose me? What if I refuse God? Think about it. Now, God has chosen every one of us, right? But what if you refused it to begin with? You think back. Now they have come across this understanding of choosing for knowledge and election. What if I refuse? Because the Bible chose you this day whom you will serve, right? Correct. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? You believe. You believe means you choose to believe. So, if I do not choose to believe, and if God choose me, if I choose not to believe, what? You see, there is this paradox. Correct? But the thing is that God's chosen is that it's based on His foreknowledge about you. Only that when we look back, we say, yeah, this is what is happening. But what if I refuse or not? We always think on this reason and argument. But think on this on the ground is that there's nothing good in us. God chose us. When He choosing us, He placed a choice before you. Right? And we do not know the choice until we cannot choose until we are given the choice. Now, if I said to you, God chose you to be a child of God. Really? I mean, this is the first time I heard the gospel. Really? But how do I choose it? It's when the gospel is presented to you. When the gospel is presented to you, what would you do with Jesus called Christ? Now that's where the choice is. That's the choice whether you accept Him or you don't accept Him. And of course, because of God's foreknowledge, you know, since He chose you, He presented to you, He gave you the Holy Spirit to understand about salvation, and you choose Him. You know, when my mom talked to me about Jesus as a young, you know, kid, every time I hear the name Jesus, it sounds good because God is drawing me, right? He's drawing me. Until such day that one, I started going to a Baptist church and a Sunday school, and then there was one day that they had evangelistic meeting, so I attended the evangelist meeting. When the preacher preached that, that's when the Lord says, "Come for me. Come unto me." And I went out crying. You see, because God is dealing with us. Yeah, you can choose God. But yeah, when God presents that gospel to you, you have to make a choice, because God is not forcing you. You make a choice, and God knew you would choose. We don't argue back and forth in this sense and that sense. The other thing is this. When you come to God's foreknowledge and He chose you for one purpose, He predestined you to be conformed. He didn't predestinate you to eternal life like that. That's so simple. Yeah, we all say we are Christian, we have eternal life. Good. Look at the millions of Christians around the world. God predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Many times we don't. Many people don't care. Yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church. Go to Pentecostal church, they sing and they dance, they feel good. You know what I mean? They feel good. Yeah, I mean, it's good to feel good. So when anything happens and a bad came, God, you're not around when I need you. You know, we come to that stage. That's why I said that the two books are so important. No, but I'm really glad that the brother, the New Zealand brother, his name is John Morris, we lost contact over the years. He's probably nearly 80 years old now, I think. He gave it to me, he said, "Bergen, I want to give you this book." And I read it the very day. You know, that gave me an idea about how God the Lord is in dealing with us to bring us to the place of our relationship with Him and praise Him. To know who we are. You see? That's right. So we need to be conformed to the image of His Son. So Paul said, "I press toward it. Now, therefore, as many as be perfect, matured, let us all have the same mind. Be trust-minded. And if anything be ye otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you." So if you have a different view, no, I don't. Yeah, brother, I agree we all should be one mind. You know, but I think that there is something here that, you know, needs to be done this way or that way and all this thing, okay? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Just put it on yourself. And see how the Lord will deal with it. And I'll tell you many times in the past, it was back 20, 30 years ago, some came up to me and told me, "Brother Gandhi, you, the way you preach, I don't like it. You should preach it this way. And this is what you should preach." Because he told me what to preach. And I was kind of thinking, and I told the brother, I said, "You're telling me what to preach, then I cannot be a preacher." And then God should call you to be a preacher. Then. You see the kind of strange thought that they have. Not, you know, as I said this, if God didn't call you, and you make yourself some kind of a pastor, some kind of evangelist or prophet or whatever it is, then you are doing God a service without it being God's will. But you feel led to do something for God, good, learn. I tell you that. I told him one a pastor here in Singapore. He knew that he wasn't called. But I said, if you feel that to do it, good, but learn. Of course, learn from whom? You know, let me tell you something. When I was in the denomination church, I learned a lot from men of God back then in the Pentecostal movement, in the early days. T.R. Osborne, Franklin Hall. Huh? We have a Watchman Nee who was from China. You see the book that he wrote? How many of you have read his book? You know, the simplicity of that kind of life, that kind of a preacher. Learn from those that far down, which upon the best teacher can find. Learn from him. Stay with him. But today there are many all kinds of preachers out there, and people are not learning. That's good to hear. Now the other thing is that, as I said this before, it is good to be zealous. I said many times, of a zeal. Huh? But zealousness must be tempered with wisdom and patience in learning. You cannot say, oh, I'm zealous, I know what to do, I know what to do. You hang up. They're having a big head. Because you think you know. When many preachers, they think they know what they don't know, and they propagate all their nonsense. And I hear people, and I mean, God told me. Really? And I think they hear the wrong voice. Either it's the voice of the devil telling them to do certain things, preaching certain revelation that's contrary to the word, or it is their own thought. And so when the Bible talks about being able to discern that all those voices out there in the world, they're coming at you. What voices are you hearing? Remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are the voices you will not follow? Are we able to discern this? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 1 to 2 here. Hosea has pressed on and see what Paul has said. He said, chapter 12 of Hebrews verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying this is why you are why I believe that people should have. You know, Bible. What is the meaning of the word Bible? Bible means book, right? Holy Bible means holy book. And the Bible calls it sacred scripture. What is scripture? Scripture is something that is written. Now it's printed. Now, the reason why I want you to have a Bible is so that you can have a pencil or pen and scribble every note that you can. If it's not on your notebook, scribble on the Bible. For me, I don't carry a notebook. This is all my note. All is scribbled all over the place. And this Bible has been reborn. Or what do you call it? Reborn, yeah, twice. And I have a margin, it's about 1-inch margin all around. And now it's only about 1 cm. Because they have to cut, because all the leaves are coming up, right? They put it back nicely and they have to trim. So part of my notes are missing. So when you put all the notes on the Bible, you have an image. Huh? When I have no space there, I draw a line from that verse down or the word down to some place where it's quite empty and put a note there. Unless you have a notebook that you want to refer to, that way keep a Bible clean, that's okay. For me, I'm a dirty person. That's why my Chinese name is called so. Filthy like Linus carrying a blanket, whatever he goes on, the dirt follow him. So my Bible is kind of a little dirty here and there, all over the place on the notes. So it is good to form a habit of reading. Putting notes on your Bible. Don't be afraid to dirty your Bible. So, but I bought this Bible now, $70, $100, $200. So why, you want to keep it pristine? Like some kind of a, well, ritualistic book where you put it on your home. You know, you have this book, right? Open up, like a holy book, or like what people, the Quran put there, or the Jew put their scroll on it, you know, they put it on home for display. No. It's a book. God wants you to eat it. Use it. And I'm reading that. And I want to use a new Bible, but I can't, because when I bought myself a new Bible, you know, I have all the other versions of the Bible at home. Almost every version. The thing is that I want to buy another one that I could transform. I know, I said, wow, there's so many notes how to transform. It's just not possible. So just put the Bible over there, just keep on using this one until it comes apart. And when it comes apart, I'm ready to go home. Alright, so you will remember that is how important. So, let us go on. So now, let us, verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have asked for an example. Now, be ye follower of me. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, you get this Branham says, we follow Brother Branham as he follow Branham, follow Christ. Yeah, but what in what way are you following? What do you mean by the word follow? The word follow in the Greek word, be ye follower together, is to say, be imitator of me. Now, I remember there is a book I have at home, I can't remember the author's name, but it's called Imitation of Christ. Imitation of Christ. We imitate Christ, right? But see, Paul is a great example. He saw Christ, but this Christian in Philippi, they have never seen Christ. Right? So Paul was an example. He imitated Christ, so when you look at Paul, that's why I say, look at Paul. If I'm there, I look at Paul, I will see the whole image of Christ in him. For the way that he conducts himself, the way that he expressed Christ so well. To the suffering, to the way he got across the message to the people, his strictness and all that. So Paul says, be imitator of me as I am of Christ. How did he see Christ? Paul never was with Christ physically, but Christ appeared to him when he was out there in the desert for 3 years. And that's why he said, I'm not taught by men. My revelation, well, I was taught by Christ. 3 years out there in the desert. How Christ appeared to him, perhaps sat with him, maybe even had eaten something with him while he taught Paul for 3 years. But that's quite something, huh? Remember, the disciple was with Christ for how many years? Almost 3.5 years, right? But Paul was with Christ for 3 years. Think about it now. So he would have seen Christ, his expression, everything that he revealed to Paul. And Paul, having the same spirit, expressed. He was an imitator of Christ. He imitated Christ. So that's why he told the Philip, the believer, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Not mean to say that walk the way Christ walked. No. Now that's why sometimes I have seen some preacher, they preach a Brother Branham. They even imitate his voice. My. That is not imitation. That's a mimic. Right? A copycat. Brother Branham stand a certain way, they stand a certain way. Brother Branham say a certain kind of phrase, he will say a certain kind of phrase like that. That's not it. That is not imitation. Follow the spiritual life of the person. The characteristic that express the reality of a holy God, a holy Christ, the life that is real. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Hey, wait a minute here. Paul said to follow him. But here, Jeremiah said, cursed is the man that trusts in man. If you were living in the days of Paul and Paul, you were in Philippi, and Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In what way, as I said this, are you following him? But here, Jeremiah was not talking about imitating. Jeremiah says, cursed be the one who trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. That means to say, he's looking at a man's strength. You trust in the flesh of a man because he's strong? Because his church is big? I don't know how many of you, I have a book called Church History, I think, okay, Church History, and up to the 20th century. How churches progress, how when we say church, how the church progress in the sense that how the church changed, how keep on changing. Yeah. And today we, in the 20th century, when I was there in the Assemblies of God, it was 1960s, when I was there, and I have never heard about a charismatic, but though I read about it, but when I read about a charismatic, I said, this one, there were a whole lot of them in America. I said, this is not scriptural. I mean, this group here, they're a bunch of, praising the Lord and all that, and the thing that they will do, it's just a little bit out of Pentecost. Remember, I thought Pentecost started in the garage, in the warehouse. Charismatic churches started in the home. That's what we have today. A lot of charismatic churches, they always break up to have cell group, because cell group had it in the home. And what happened in the last several decades before it turned into the 21st century, at the end of the 2000, around that end of the 2 decades of the end of the 20th century, you see a lot of these charismatic preachers out there. How many of you have heard of Jim Baker? No. So well known in America, the news even spread around the world. But Americans don't follow. A lot of charismatic preachers just continue. His wife, his name is Tammy Faye. Oh, there is a documentary movie made of her. The Eyes of Tammy Faye, a woman evangelist, trained at the Bible College, and met the husband, Jim Baker, and they became preachers, celebrity even. Tammy Faye's eye is full of mascara, very big butterflies. Yeah. All these black liners, lipsticks. So that's my trademark. Don't remove it. I like it that way. She will come out, she preach. And people fall for her. She has a whole lot of money. There was fraud in Jim Baker. I think he went to jail, I don't know how many years. He came out. And still preaching, the wife died. So what was Jim Baker saying now? He condoned, he says, okay. LBGTQ, right?
Yes.
LBGTQ. He condoned that. You condoned that! What kind of preacher do we have in the world today? And people that are following this evangelist, they trust in the flesh of the man because he's able to speak, preaching, making people feel happy. You know how charismatic people preach? Move around. You love the Lord! Come on. You love the Lord! Amen! Say hallelujah! Praise the Lord! God is good! Every time! God! And they make people feel good. What substance is there in the preaching of the word? We come to the house of the Lord to be judged. Not to feel good. Amen. Oh, the preacher today is condemning sin. Condemning that I cannot put on makeup. I must wear long skirt and cover my knees and not short skirt. I cannot show my cleavage. I cannot put on the ding-dong. You know, I don't like that kind of preacher. But a preacher says, hey, be as you are. If you're a lesbian, it's okay. God loves a lesbian. You want that kind of preaching? Let me tell you, Paul said, oh, you're still going to go to hell. Well, you just called said that you're going to hell again. I didn't say that. The Bible said it. You think I'm not serious? That's what the Bible talks about, a warning. The Bible given out, and people don't care. Because they said God is good. God is full of grace, full of mercy. Yes, if you're homosexual, God can save you. God loves you. If you take it all of that homosexuality, you're not going to go back. Right? If you're a murderer, God save you. You want to go back and murder again? No. If you're a liar and God call you out and you still want to continue to lie, something is very wrong. What did the Bible say about liars? The Bible said the liars have their part in the lake of fire. Oh, so you better think twice about lying. Cheating, stealing, whatever, anything that is bad, anything that is sinful. When God save you out of this situation and give you the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is living in your temple. This is the temple of God. And you better not abuse it. So don't trust the man in the strength of man. But trust in the man who lived the life of God and imitate that life like Paul. That's what it means. Alright, let's continue now. Brethren, be followed together of me and mark them which walk so as you have asked for an example. Mark them so as you have asked for an example. Not just Paul alone, but those who have the kind of walk with the Lord. They are the example. Correct? Yes. You know, Brother Branham, when the angel told about man, be sincere. Huh? Be sincere. If you will be sincere and get the people to believe you. And that's what sincerity comes in, the important thing. But you know, in this world we have a lot of preachers, they are not sincere. They're just a bunch of liars. For many walk, of whom I've told you often. I have told you often. I don't know how many times Paul tell them, what did Paul want to keep on telling them about this? Now, you know, in this church in the past, sometimes when I remind people, some people don't like it. But again, you keep on saying the same thing, reminding the people of this, you're nagging at the people. Now, if you want to wear slippers to church, flip-flop, you know, flip-flop. And you wear shabby. And if I see a few times wearing flip-flop like you are going to the beach, and you dress shabby, I would say, girl, can you not dress properly? I would talk to you personally. I wouldn't announce in the church. But you see, if he continues wearing flip-flop to church, then he doesn't have that kind of attitude towards God. It's true. If I were to tell you, sister, please, stop cutting your hair, let your hair grow long. Dress right, cover your knees when you sit. Are you offended? Let me show you this on yesterday's newspaper. The Forum. And I don't know how many of you read this forum on yesterday's paper. Kind of interesting for what he says. Oh, apparently you all don't read this paper too, huh? Because, do you know what happened yesterday? There was a big bomb landed on Washington, D.C.? No, you're looking at me. I'm giving you a fake news, you believe. You see? Now look at this. People's choice of clothing does not give others the right to assault them. Now, the subtitle is kind of, you can change it. People's choice of food does not give others the right to assault them. Correct? People's choice of language does not give other people the right to assault them. People's choice of religion does not give others the right to assault them, right? You can put anything there. But here this is all about clothing. This woman who wrote in says that as I read a call on social media by a woman who said they experienced victim blaming after being sexually assaulted. I remember a recent conversation I had with my sister. She said her teacher had told her and her teammate to wear their skirt over their bikini attire before they left school after their own circular activity session. I was puzzled over the need to do this in Singapore's struggling climate. The reason her teacher gave was that it will prevent people from staring at their thighs while in their PE shop. I felt uncomfortable on hearing this. Certainly, underlying the message was concern for the safety of female students. However, the connotation was that female students should be responsible for their safety by covering up. What I thought the teacher could have done better was to also emphasize that regardless of what they were wearing, no one had the right to do anything to them, of course, right? Even if somebody wear a bikini on the roadside, what were you going to do? Are you going to go out there and give her a slap? No. I mean, that's her right to wear a bikini. But of course, the police officer will call and ask her to cover up. So has the police the right to tell them to cover up? If this is what it meant, you see them, how we reason. Okay, now see what it says here. An exhibit put up by the Dove Center in the United States, titled "What Were You Wearing?" shows how someone's choice of clothes is irrelevant when it comes to sexual assault. We can do so much more in school than to perpetuate this narrative that clothing choice is relevant in preventing sexual assault. That being said, I understand that students are expected to dress appropriately for school activities, and students who do not comply with the dress code should be taken to task. Instead of focusing our attention on getting young girls to cover up, as a society, we can do better by educating everyone that people's choice of clothing does not give others the right to sexually assault them. Let's stop propagating the mindset that modesty on its own will prevent sexual crime, especially among teens in their formative years. You agree with this? The problem here is it has a certain point. But at a certain point, it is lost. Let me say this. I feel very uncomfortable when I sit on the train. When young ladies come up onto the train in leotard, you know leotard? Leotard without a blouse over it. Standing right there in front of me, and you could see the crotch. Now, I'm a man. And you men don't think that you don't have the same urge. Because you are born with the filth that began in the Garden of Eden. Remember this. You see, that sexual urge. Yeah, I was told some people have more sexual urge than others. But it doesn't mean that because you're more sexual urge than others, you have the right to do what you do. Yes. Standing right there, or even in shop, a lot of women are wearing hot pants. Huh? I mean, if you're a fat lady, they come onto the train, standing there in short pants with a big ties and ugly legs, nobody cares. But if you're slim and you wear that and your ties are white and flesh and smooth and everything, people would stare at that. You agree with that? Your sister should know. You better not expose your knees and the Bible talk about the knees and the width and not just anything from the knees and the butt, you show it is bad. Because we are the one, the Bible says, we are born between the knees. What does it mean? We came up as sex. And that's why their mind is always there. That's why there are so many cases of molest. Not because the students were wearing shorts, No, not because they were wearing shorts. A molester, a rapist, would not necessarily rape one because he wears shorts. He will rape anybody he wants. But you are, by those who wear shorts and feed the sexual desire of exposing themselves. That's what the Bible said to the sisters, be modestly dressed. Right? If not, you are contributing to it. Because I know the thing that is going on in the human mind, the lust, the flesh. There's nothing good in this body. The five senses is always a word. The devil is always throwing this at you. Right? And who started it all? In a modern civilization, Facebook. It's all going from America, Europe, England. All the what they have, Playboy magazine, whatever they have, the bar where even what a bar where they have women half topless serving beer or something like that. Then now they have pole dancing, naked pole dancing. What did they have else? Then you have the blue movie coming out and all that thing. Yes. And if coming all over to the East Asia, I think Japan allows that thing. And I think South Korea too, I believe. But not in this region of Southeast Asia. I'm not sure about the Philippines, whether they have pay-per-view for blue movie and things like that. Huh? But today you don't have the guy, it's all on the internet. And on the internet, what do they have? The dark web, you can even... Wow, I don't know what they're going to do on the dark web. I was told, I read articles, and this is what they offer. You can buy a gun, you can have anything you want in the dark web. Without holiness, no man will see God. Right? So it doesn't take a rapist to rape one who is half naked now. You'll rape any person. Even if you rape an old woman. Huh? All because you've been filled with all these visions of a woman in shorts and exposing the tie and all that thing. You know one thing about the human mind? Your eyes. You know, whenever I see a pretty lady comes in, well dressed, properly dressed, very feminine, I look at her and say, wow, this is the kind of lady. A real lady, dressed properly. You know what I mean? You can see the femininity that about her, that she's a woman. But if you have one that comes, you see, with all the big ding-dong on the ears, lipsticks and dress and shorts, even some of the elderly 50 years old woman also dressed like teenager, huh? You look at it and say, oh my, what is that going on? We are living in the world just like that. So you know that says spirit working. There is a spirit that is working in the world today. And Satan was going to destroy as many as he can. And he's not so worried about the sinners out there. They're already in that state. But he's attacking the Christian. to say it is all right for LGBTQ. It's all right for you to do this, do that. Oh no, it's not all right. All right. Let's see what Paul here said. For many walk of whom I told you before, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemy of Christ. And Paul is speaking the truth in love, huh? He's sincerely speaking the truth in love. I tell you all of them, I'm telling you this again. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, for my earthly things. Yeah, let me show you this picture of the cover church. This was some 8 years ago. Alright, watch this. Look at this. That's Pope Francis. Look at the throne he sits on. A white throne. And by his side, did you see the cherubim? Huh? And do you see the four beasts around him? You're laughing, huh? He's the being just accepted. He did what he don't realize, because that is what the countries believe, that the Pope is the vicar of Christ. He sits on the throne of God. Now the two cherubim, and there are four elders there, right? The four elders, or the four beasts around him. Think about it. Okay, next. Now I want you to see the Vatican Radio. You see what it says here on the left? Pope Francis. Religion should not be confined to personal conscience. Hey, you don't have a choice in your own what you believe, huh? It's no longer personal. It means you cannot believe what you want. Next. A fundamentalist group, even if it kills no one, even if it strikes no one, is violent. The mental structure of fundamentalism is violence in the name of God. Whoa! Did you read it? Did you see it? A fundamentalist group. Are we fundamental? We are. What we believe. Even if it kills no one, we kill nobody. Even if it strikes no one, we strike nobody. It is violent. And we are violent people. You hear that, Sister Lucy? You are violent. You think about it, we are violent people. The mental structure of fundamentalism is violence in the name of God. How can it be? Next, look at that. He declares, Pope Francis declares, that Christian fundamentalism is a sickness. So we must conform to Catholicism. We are all sick, you know. You know that we are all sick. Yeah, I'm glad we are all sick. Yeah. Because we are sick for the truth. Because here we are looking at what Paul said, the enemy of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, whom my earthly things. This is on my website. I don't know how many of you have gone to my website and read all the articles. Alright, some of you don't. I guess some of you don't bother. Arrogant and presumptuous preacher who do not serve God in sincerity and in truth, but are full of lies, deception, and slander. The first man here, the light of God and Bruce. He's an Indian man living in Trinidad. But he's so proud to have an English name. So because at first I don't know who he was, they kept me, so I wrote, and I thought he was a white man. And he kind of laughed. Come on. If you are a Chinese, you want to complain about someone my name, Richard William Johnson. When anybody read their name, say this must be a white man, right? Yeah. Correct. Joseph Ramaswamy. At least I know that it is an Indian because of Indian name behind. The other one, his follower, Ronald Watson. Ronald Watson? I thought Ronald Reagan's brother-in-law. You know, you have this name that you don't even identify that you are an Indian. Do you see what I'm saying about? If you want to take the name from the Bible, whatever, retain your Chinese name, your Indian name, or whatever other name that you have that belongs to your race. Don't be ashamed of your name. What happened to that man, Dalton Bruce? My, he made himself some great somebody. Okay? Look at that. William Graham Bishop. Dalton Bruce is a Trump. And Dalton Bruce appointed Robert Lambert as the voice, a prophet of the Brother Branham. You understand all this whole thing? Dalton Bruce said he's a Trump. The Trump will bring us the perfection. Wow. These are the people, as Paul warned in those days. Of course, in him, he wasn't warning about Dalton Bruce. But he warned about people just of the same character that we see today. So, what happened to Ronald Watson now? He's in India. He's a follower of Dalton Bruce. I don't know him. He never met me. He never read my book. But he started writing tracts against me, saying all kinds of things that was total lies. I didn't know about it until Brother Shadrach. Brother Shadrach confronted him. Because many of those three pastors whom I know, and whom Brother Shadrach knew back then, actually were deceived by him. You know one thing, what happened to me now? I asked Brother Shadrach's wife, she said, Benita. He told me all the people disappeared now. But what happened to him, nobody knows. People are born to lie. Because what the Bible tells us, we are born into this world lying, right? We are born to lie. You see, the kids, you have to tell them how to lie, they know. They will learn how to lie. You know that. You know that. You don't have to tell them, they will lie. When they take something, you do take it? No money. This very honor is just automatic. And these are adults, they are lying. What about Kohanaka? Somebody who is not even a believer, but he's an anti-Branham preacher. He has started attacking me. A letter to Pastor Peter Wong, you know what he said? What he wrote about me and Brother Nice? And the last one here, the letter to Pastor John Tay in Tamil, my oh my. What a big lie in front of the whole congregation. Then, a one ATM preacher practicing deceit on me. Go and read that on our website. See how they are trying to manipulate. I knew this preacher. I was with him, helping him, help him with some finance when he was in trouble and in need. He tried to deceive me. Keep this whole thing secret. It's personal, private. I don't know what it was at first, you know. I thought it was some personal thing. It turned out to be that he has changed his view about the message. And I took him, Brother Brand. And he wanted me to take his side. He said, Brother, keep this whole thing in private. But he was preaching against Brother Brand. All he learned was from Buggy. Brothers, John Collins, all those guys, I knew them all. I keep up with all these things to know what's going on. Yes, the Father exposed him on his way. So you know how it is like today. Let us continue our explanation. So whose end is destruction, whose God is the belly, whose glory is in their shame, who my earthly things. They only care for their own glory, their pride. They think they're smart, they're wise. And so many times it is true. Philo, the philosopher back then, in ancient times, he said, don't think you know what you do not know. But there are a lot of preachers who think they know what they don't know and start preaching all that nonsense. Think. And You know, when I saw the video of Gautam Bruce on YouTube, he has a big congregation. And the people rejoice him, hearing him preach, believing in him. And some of those believe, some of the believers have laughed and exposed him. He said he is making himself Pope. You know, it is like to say that without me, you cannot make heaven. Without Brother Branham, this Brahma teaching, you don't have the token. You will not make the rapture. Let me tell you something. There are people, there are believers, Christians out there in other countries who have never heard the gospel, who have never heard the name William Branham. They don't know a lot of things that you and I know today, right? Because they don't have access to all this deep mystery that we have. But they lived a life as simple as they could. Right? And what do you think is going to happen to them? They are not making the rapture? You only make the rapture because you know the message, because you know William Branham? Then you have not known the doctrine of election. God's election stands sure. Do you understand? When the gospel was out after Christ died, the gospel was all around Asia Minor. It never go over to China. You know? Thomas went to India. That's as far as an apostle ever went. Back then. So what happened to all those in China? Never heard the gospel? What happened to them? Are they all going to hell? Have you forgot about election? Think about it, man. God's election was stand sure. Before the blood was ever shed, God's over elected already. When He elected you, the blood comes later to pay for it. Even those who never heard the gospel, if God has elected them, they will come into that election. Or else God is not just. And God knows how to judge. And people think that because a baby died, he goes to heaven. No. It is based on God's election. There are many babies that die after birth, right? Is that not true? Yes. Think. There are those of babies born into the world with hydrocephalus. I've seen one, the biggest I've ever seen. So big that you can't eat. It's so big, the size is bigger than the body. The Western American doctor, European doctor say, you will not live. They cannot do any operation, useless. But the Indian doctors in India, he was an Indian with a baby. In India, the Indian doctors do several operations and shrunk the head into half the size and into one third the size. And the eyes could be opened. But of course, some few weeks later, he died. Not because of hydrocephalus, but because he had infection in the lungs. So what's going to happen to that boy? I don't know. If God has elected him, he will have a place. Do you understand? So that's why we need to understand what election is. Let's finish up. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation in heaven. What is our conversation? I mean, it doesn't mean that we talk in heaven. Our conversation here is, King James language. Our conversation means our life is in heaven. So it means to say we are heavenly citizens. You know, in this earth, every one of us are citizens of two worlds. Every one of you. You know that, Sister Lucy? You are a citizen of Singapore, right? Do you know that you are a citizen of heaven? Yeah, you know. So we are citizens of two worlds. Huh? But yet, while we are on this earth, this world, as the Bible says, we don't have a continuing city.
Amen.
Yeah, we move on. I mean, here, this place where we worship, I mean, we might not even have it after a year or two. Because they want to increase rent or whatever, they want to increase, you increase, and then they want to convert this into something else. We don't know. We have to move. Because we are pilgrims. No choice. Right?
Amen.
Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working that whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? And the word vile body here, it sounds like a vile body as in vileness, vile body as in filthiness. It doesn't mean that. Okay, the word vile body has translated from different words. In this word here, in the Greek word is tapinosis, which means a body that is a humiliated body. People look at us and look at Paul, rubbish, look at that. Look at Jesus, look at him. You know what I mean? No special and attraction, nothing. You know that Jesus was so common that there's no attraction in him. The Bible said there's no beauty, right? People only attracted to him because of what he preached. They wanted to hear what he had to say. But as to, well, do you think Jesus is charismatic? You know, have the charisma that attract people to him? I don't think so. People that are attracting people are those who are handsome looking, like the K-pop man or the K-pop woman. You know what I mean? Or celebrity. Ooh, he's handsome. Ooh, he's beautiful. But the Bible says Jesus has no, it's just company. There's no beauty in him. That we desire him, right? Correct. You know, if Jesus was very handsome, I can tell you a lot of people they are Christian. But because he's handsome. And why did God make Jesus Christ without beauty? Nothing interesting about him. Huh? Think about it. Maybe Paul is better looking, you see? He's better looking. He might be attracted to him. Or maybe my brother Henry. Yeah, maybe he got good voice, can sing, and all, he looks beautiful. Forehead. Things that people are attracted. But you know, Jesus is walking in market. Nobody knows even that he was anybody. Nobody important. But people follow him was because of the word that he preached. That is the thing about it. Alright, so you can see all these things that's going on in days of Paul. Not only in the church there in Philippi, but Paul is referring also in the letter he wrote to the saints in Philippi. This epistle was also read among other churches. Right? And I think the first church that Paul established was Corinthian. It was a church in Corinth, I'm not mistaken. But it was a church that was in a place, a city, the city of Corinth. It's just perhaps we can say like New York, Chicago, maybe like Singapore. But there's a lot of trading and all kind of activity going on, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the filthy, it's all right there in Corinth. Philippi is quite different. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? So when your city are open up to all kinds of trade, all kinds of activity, then you have all kinds of carnalities. Matthew 23, 13, there's a Bible, I'm not going to read all of it. We just read some and you know what it was. But what are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? For you build up kingdoms of heaven against man. For you neither go for in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entered to go in. What are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? For you devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. What unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites? For you encompass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. What unto you, blind guides? Whosoever shall serve at the temple, he needs nothing. But whosoever shall serve at the God of temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind. For whichever is greater, the God or the temple, they sanctify the God. And so on and so on. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in this time. You hypocrite, you blind, you fool. Whoa. Calling fools. You think that Jesus got poor punches? Huh? Wow. This is a religious leader. Come on, man. Jesus, come, don't you have some sympathy for them? Huh? Can you empathize with them? They're blinded. And yet you scold them like that? What do you think about Jesus burn and butter a person? That's not when you speak the truth. I mean, sincerely speak the truth in love. You think Jesus can love to rebuke them that way? You know, these people are already bound because of their choice. This man that you see, a God and Bruce. Yeah, he already made his choice. He doesn't, you know, he knows what he's preaching to him. Even though I wrote to him, I said, why did I say this? He put a lot of presumption. On the website, you know, Zoe and Clement's wedding, I put my hand to pray for them. Because the camera was sitting on my side, he says, I'm a heretic. Instead of the groom unveiling the bride, the father is unveiling the bride. Then I show him the same picture that was taken from here. And my hand is still the same position. He apologizes and nothing. No. I don't apologize for my sin, for my presumption. I don't. That's the kind of people like that. That's what the scribes Pharisees are. They presume a lot, interpreting the law their own way, and want other people to follow, but he won't follow. But they won't go in themselves. A hypocrite is one who do not practice what he preaches. Sadly, isn't it? So we are citizens of the heavenly. And I believe it is time for us to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Maybe I'll close with the last verse. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, 19 onwards. 19 to 26. Philippians 1, 19 to 26. For I know that these things, for I know that these shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, there is nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I will not. For I am in the strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh more is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you. Paul is so full of joy. You know, in all his shopping, he said, I'm in between these two states. I wanted to go, but that which is better for me, right? But for me to stay is good for you. You know, I think that Paul loved the saints in Philippi. And so much so that, you know, he just wanted to stay. And after 2 years in prison, he was released, and God allowed him 2 more years, and after whom he passed away and died a martyr. In all the pain that he went through, he was contented. He rejoices, no matter what condition. And he had, in fact, his own revival within him. Do you know that? Because of his love for the brethren, for the people, that he went through all their suffering and still rejoiced in that. Just that Jesus Christ, remember? For the joy that was set before him, he endured himself to the cross. Right. So, now we are here. The world is coming to a stage where it has to close up, and Christ is going to soon come. Are we going to endure ourselves to the end? For what is await us? Not the cross, but the price of the high calling. We are moving onward. So don't let anything deter you from fellowship, from worship, from hearing the word of God. Don't let anything hinder you from moving on the way that God wants you to move with Christ Jesus as an example, with Paul as our example as well. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for your grace. We praise you, O Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the word. The joy of the Lord is our strength, truly, Lord. And the joy is going to come from your word that we eat, Lord. For in the evening, Father, feasting is a time of joy. And we eat and we feast, and it's always the joy, and you give us the strength. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless that word. Take it further and break it down, Father, whenever we have time to sit down and do a little time of study and prayer and even fasting, Lord, that you speak to us and continue, O Lord, to get us forward. In this work with Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, we commit the rest of the day to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.